any sports begins with fundamentals. And think you need to start at a very early age.
And some of the technical sports, you ask yourself, why are there no Africans? Well, that's way too technical.
Skills.
Like tennis, right? You can't just like...
It's a skill sport.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just fake your way into...
It doesn't matter how athletic you are.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sports is huge, man, in terms of revenue, in terms of what you can make. People underestimate. That's why do Americans, Europe value so much sports? It's a $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
So for the stigma of us thinking that, oh, Africa, let's focus on school or sports is not a priority, it should be. That investment should be there because you can have a $1 billion industry.
Mm.
What is a football age for those who don't know?
For those who don't know,
when we say football age,
basically it's your actual age minus give or take 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. Right?
Drogba was the first African superstar in the Premier League, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he opened the doors for, if there was no Drogba, there's no Mo Salah, no Sadio Mane, Riyad Mahrez, all these guys.
Is undisclosed location.
Undisclosed, yeah. As always.
We need to know where the men them are. Wagwan people, welcome back to another episode of TJMTM.
Yes, sir.
I'm your man, it's DJ Anzo.
Come on.
Here with
the DJ Anzo. The DJ Anzo, guys.
Young money millionaire. Young
Augusta Venus. I beg.
What's going down?
Man, like Anzo, the one and only Anzo right here.
Man, we out here, bro.
Yes, sir.
How you living, brother?
Man, we out here. Shall I say it again?
Yeah.
Slicing and dicing.
Slicing and dicing.
As always.
And profiling and keeping it P.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man. What's been going down?
Man, we out here, you know, getting ready for football to be back.
Man.
Summer, heat wave in Seattle. You know, this is the best time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And taking advantage before it gets overcast
back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, so
I hear you.
We outside.
You see the boys, we came through with the
come on.
With the
the fits.
With the drip, you heard.
Yes, sir.
Representing that home team.
Come on.
And if you don't know what it's about, you about to find out
what,
before we get into that.
We'll let them know. Had to show y'all
to let
the
know.
Flag, the colors. You get me.
But as you know, or if you don't know, we're just two men. Them Africans in this space.
Yes, sir.
Just canoeing through this thing called life.
Always.
Diaspora.
Always.
Sharing our experiences. If you haven't listened to an episode, just check us out. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah.
We see y'all and we appreciate it.
We love the engagement.
Today, Mandem came to talk about something serious.
What did we come to talk about, bro?
Serious dreams the Mandem had.
Dreams, this could have been realized. Mandem, you know. We'll go to the grave with this.
As far as I'm concerned, my Man U contract is still around the corner.
Yeah, it's never too late. Jamie Vardy started at 27.
He did. That's a fact.
Well, at least got to the Prem at 27, yeah.
Half of our brothers there, you know.
Hello, right?
Hey, half of these men are 15, but really. Look,
you know what I'm saying?
No comments.
We'll talk about that.
We won't say their names.
We won't say it, but if you know.
If you know, you know.
Yes, sir.
Today we're talking about the outlook on sports in the motherland.
In Africa.
And not just the sport, the one that we're here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
All sports.
All sports.
Right. Why do you think it's so difficult to make it as a professional athlete, bro? Not only back home, but even when you come out of back home. What do you think, or how do you think the outlook on sports affects the success rates? And what are some factors that you think affects those?
Well, I always think of first lack of opportunity.
Mm.
Because talent-wise, raw talents, just from my genetical standpoint, raw talent, there is no continent that has more raw talent for athletic ability than Africa.
Yeah.
But when you don't have opportunity for that talent development, resources, focus, priority.
Yeah.
Which, because of our countries, we're third world countries, it's hard to make it as a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
at least a global professional athlete out of Africa. And, you know, poverty is a huge contributing factor. We can talk about the stigmas, the family stigmas as well, of pursuing an education is typically deemed a way higher priority than athletic ability.
Yeah, or anything in the arts.
Or anything space. In the arts yeah. or creative space.
Exactly.
Sports and creatives are put into this bucket for even when you do have the resources, the opportunities, like me and you, for example, it's still not favorable in a lot of societal settings.
Yeah.
So if you put that all together, it's hard. There's not enough opportunities. You need to be an extreme 1%er of an athlete, to be able to quote unquote get out and make it.
And it's hard back there too. Like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but every time I go home and I play, I'm like, these niggas are trying to kill somebody. These guys, they play with so much passion, and that's just that, right? For me, there's something else I think about too, which is back home, we're not being taught the proper way, if you will.
How to play a sport?
A sport, yeah.
From a fundamental standpoint? From a
fundamental standpoint, right? A lot of what we know is raw talent.
Raw talent.
Yep. I can tell you, like, the first team I played on, like, I was a kid, these coaches didn't know what they were doing, bro. They were just throwing us together. Mm-hmm. Every bit of knowledge that I got from the game and every skill I learned was just watching the TV.
Yep.
Right. So we were watching Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
We were watching Rooney. We were watching.
Yeah, role models of players.
Ronaldo.
We watched them on TV.
Changed the way the game was played, you know? Like, 03-04, Mandem was trying to do step overs. Yeah. Nobody could see us. You know what I'm saying? Basketball, we were watching like what was available to us, and that was how we learned how to play the game. And so the outlook was always like, well, fine, we don't even have the industry for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not there.
This is all it's ever going to be. But you'll get these coaches coming in, and they see this raw talent, and they're like, boy, like...
They invest in and they develop it.
Exactly.
But you're already so late, typically.
So late to
the game. You make a good point, because like you said that. Same here for me, experience, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up, playing football, you played at the streets, you played every day.
Yeah.
What you saw on TV, or but from a fundamental standpoint, zero, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get that until I went to London and playing at Fulham. And then you're like, they're teaching you still drills and shooting and all of these things. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
We played in the streets. We played, after school, we played ball, you know. You knew who was good at shooting.
Yeah.
You knew who was fast.
Yeah.
Who was good at this.
And that was their strength.
That was their strength, but that was it. Yeah. Like, and people wonder why, you guys say that Africans have the, ability, but why are they not dominating sport? Because we did not get taught the fundamentals.
Fundamentals.
Any sports begins with fundamentals, and you need to start at a very early age.
And some of the technical sports, you ask yourself, why are there no Africans? Well, that's way too technical.
Skills.
Like tennis, right? You can't just like...
It's a skill sport.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just fake your way into...
Doesn't matter how athletic you are.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That one, you're going to have to learn like, oh, I need to hit the ball at the highest point. Like, my swing needs to look like this. You know what I'm saying? Golf, like...
Golf, stuff I mean, like that. Those a lot really of those
technical sports.
Bro, our number one sport in the continent.
Yeah.
Why haven't we won World Cup?
Exactly.
Why have quarterfinals is the most we've gone?
We've ever gone. Which, by the way, your guy, we still have beef with that one.
Suarez, man. I respect it now that we're grown and mature, but I will never accept it. It's one of those. You respect it, but you will never accept it.
Yeah.
We forget Suarez.
I won't forget it.
We will never.
Suarez.
Sorry.
Well, shout out my Ghana folks. Y'all get us proud of World Cup.
Charlie.
The best World Cup ever.
Not even. I agree. I will not be debating. But yeah, for sports, bro, we have all of these things. And man, it's a shame because not only if we're thinking of ourselves, but growing up, like so much talent, so much like people we've played with, friends. And if we had the opportunities of US and Europe, we would be France. Literally.
Mandem would have like at least 7 World Cups on the continent.
So it's, yeah, it's, that's my, that's how I always look at sports in Africa. You know, it's not a priority. We don't have the resources, which for valid reasons too. Of course, there are other things, but sports is huge, man, in terms of revenue, in terms of what you can make. People underestimate. That's why do Americans, Europe value so much sports? It's a $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
So for the stigma of us thinking that, oh, Africa, let's focus on school or sports is not a priority, it should be. That investment should be there because you can have a $1 billion industry.
Mm-hmm. And there's power in
sports. And there's so much power in sports, but it's just not there. And even when it's there, it's filled with corruption.
Yeah. Yeah, man, back home, I mean, the struggle is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
It's not exclusive to just politics and stuff. I think it crosses so many borders. But with sports, what kills me is like the objective seems so like almost human. You know, it's like, look, we're going to mutually agree to play this game and the winner takes this.
Yeah.
No grudges, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least there's extremists, of course, but it's such a like... A life lesson teacher and so many things can come from that I just don't understand why there was never a focus on it. Of course, now back then our parents were obviously focusing on trying to get an education because
yeah, that's what they think, get the best education for their kids,
right? But us who I think have lived through all that, now we understand the value of something like that, right? There's no reason why the World Cup doesn't or just unites that many people unanimously, you know, like Champions League final. See how many people watch that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it hits dear to me that it's so difficult for our people to succeed as professional athletes.
Very.
Because they just have a mountain of things against them.
The obstacles are so high. Like the odds are stacked. So... you know, we get to see maybe one player at Chelsea, one African player at this club.
Yeah. And I do have to commend some people that are making an effort towards that. For example, like the Kenyans, right? You see how much they've invested in track and field. Right? Ethiopia, every 100 meter final, like 10,000, mm-hmm. 5,000, mm-hmm. those men, them are there. Like,
yeah.
They're
no, like, you East Africans in long distance, you know, running and those races. Yeah, you guys.
They're like, yo, we're going to win this.
I agree.
Every time, right?
I agree. Track same and field.
Yeah, like cross country stuff for Ugandans too.
Long distance.
Kenya just had a 100 meter champion in the Commonwealth Games, Ferdinand Omanyala.
And the under 20 world championship 100 Botswana. Meters, the Botswana kid just like ran a 9.99, I think.
It's like 9.91, right?
Yeah, like.
And this brother,
he showboating the last 20 seconds. You know, man, this guy. You think of what?
This guy, bro, he could
have run a 9.8. He could have run a 9.8 if he ran full.
But the nigga was indisciplined. He started waving his
man finger. Started waving. Yeah, you said Bolt. Yeah, pipe down. But it's all good, though. We love to see it.
We respect the win. We're happy for you, but. Man, you could have really like taken a step forward if you were a little bit more disciplined. But so the people that are investing in it are definitely seeing returns.
It's a man, if you have a football academy, whether it's football, track and field, basketball, you know, like
in Kigali, you see the NBA Africa.
NBA Africa, I mean, that's another one time, you know, we've seen Joel Embiid, Siakam, full players coming in. You know, I know Luol Deng, he's been very involved with the NBA in South Sudan.
Yep.
So
and they're good too.
I mean, yeah, they have the tallest people, right? The Dinkas. So
yeah.
We can get more hoopers out of there because it's great representation and it can bring sports back to Africa and it can bring, even when people talk about, oh, there's no money, people are poor. But like I said, sports is a huge driver of an economy and being able to, you know, bring back a lot of money to young kids to have that opportunity to play sports. So it should be a priority. And it is not in Africa.
Yeah.
And we just play football and, you know, watch African Cup of Nations. Shout out to Gambia quarterfinals in the shameless plug. But yes.
They did very well.
You know, Scorpions. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. Lack of opportunity. Should have been, could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Roaming the streets.
Easily.
Guaranteed you. There's some village that someone probably ran faster than Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt's the fastest man ever that we know of. I'm sure someone...
Some brother somewhere, bro.
You know?
Maybe like in the...
Some brother one day just, you know, casually ran like a 9-4. I ain't even know.
Anyway, that's part of the goal, right? We gonna change that.
Inshallah,
we gonna change it. And then we gotta discuss this.
Wait, what is this?
This football age.
Hey, Ivan. So what is a football age for those who don't know? When we say football age,
basically it's your actual age minus give or take 5 to 7 years, mm-hmm. right? Basically, to get a contract overseas, some African players will send in a document saying, you know, oh, I'm 15, but really he's 23. Mm-hmm. And that gives them the opportunity to go and play overseas because they can maybe gain sponsorship through an academy club or through... you know, something that
it gives them that opportunity, right? That value where the club will value.
Yeah. Now we've seen certain men who we know for a fact are older than us.
Yes.
But you turn on FIFA and the man says he's 19. Like, come on, man.
We know that is his football age.
Yeah, that's it. He happens to have a son graduating high school.
Right. Yeah, mysteriously.
But he's 23 in FIFA, you know. Let's dissect that.
Yeah, you see it. FIFA has sanctioned a couple of countries for that. They're really trying to crack down on, you know, African players, mm-hmm. African countries not reducing the age of players. Mm-hmm. But
how do you see it?
Huh?
How do you see it?
I mean, it hurts the youth level because you can't under 17 team full of 22, 23 year olds. Uh-huh. The actual under 17s, you're building a cycle where you're losing talent development of true age.
Yeah.
Because what happens with this football age is if you reduce your years by 4, 5, 6 years, you're 30 and now you've had a significant drop off in performance and people are like, oh, he's done. He's washed up. He's not washed up. Yeah. Thing is, he's 36, 37. That's what happens. So we wonder a lot of times why African players just have a sharp decline.
Like very short career,
very short peak, right? Yeah. Think of most of our African player superstars. Yeah. Their peaks did not last more than 4 years.
Nah.
And we wonder why. Mm. Football age. So that's what I feel about it. But then on the other side, hey man, like these, most of them come from nothing.
From nothing, yeah.
And they gotta make it out. They gotta make it out. So realistically, that's when that player was 17, there were no opportunities available to actually get out. You know how good you have to be locally to be able to get a scout from Europe or from France, whatever, to come and sponsor and take you to a club?
Yeah.
You have to be very good.
Out. Yeah.
And me and Ivan talk about lacking fundamentals usually from an early stage. So typically, you are like 21, 22. Mm-hmm. Before you're at least at that level where if you had the fundamentals very early on, you'd be on par with a 16, 17 year old.
Yeah, yeah. And you're spending time thinking about, you know, the technical aspect of the game, which is taking away
from we don't have strength and conditioning. Yeah. We don't have none of that. So you don't have any of that. You're a pure raw talent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's how in sports, no one is going to invest in an athlete to take him to academy and develop if you're 23, 24.
Exactly, yeah. Because
that does not happen.
They're also capitalists, right?
Exactly. It's an investment.
Let me think about this investment.
The value.
Is it going to be good for 10, 12 years?
It's not happening
no.
at 22, 24. Mm-hmm. 23, 24, you should be... That's mid-career for an athlete in football, if we're talking about it. So what do African countries do? They know that.
Yeah.
And so you got to... That 22, you got to make it 16, 17.
Yeah.
And that's when the opportunity happens. So, you know, it has happened so many times. So, I wish this wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Ghana is one of the few countries that they actually use their real ages, you know, Like, I remember when they were under 20. Well, let me not give them too much props, but a few countries, a lot of countries are cracking down. But here, until the resources are there, the talent development at an early youth level is there.
Yeah.
I can't knock it.
Yeah, I can't knock it.
You got these,
because man, these brothers like will come back with bread, you know, it back into.
Like I said, yeah, exactly. Most of these players in Africa, like I said, if they didn't make it in football,
yeah,
ask them, check their interviews, and tell you if you were not playing football, didn't make it, what way are you gonna be?
Probably something like a fisherman or like,
Yeah. You know, so
something that makes ends meet.
If reducing your age 4 or 5 years was what it took, yeah, you know, I wish there was more longevity in their careers.
Yeah.
But it's just not there because
I won't ever knock it for one.
Yeah, I can't knock it.
I can't knock it.
You know, people, I know it's a bad stigma. People, you know, we joke about it. I always joke about it. You know, hey, Cameroon, shout out to Cameroon. Visa Abubakar, isn't it? Must just turn 29.
Wait a minute, bro.
You be like, hold up, the math is not mathing, bro.
You 29?
You 29? Hey, Adzo, if you're 29, bro, we're about 20 out here, bro.
If you 29, I'm 15.
But, you know, we joke about it. It's very funny, you know. I've had friends who are like, why are you guys laughing? Or, you know, what do you mean football age? But yeah, that's football age for you guys who don't know. It's a means of African athletes, specifically football players, soccer players, slash soccer players, to make it to the top European leagues by reducing the ages by 5 to 7 years, typically on average.
It's technically scamming, but not really. You know,
I don't think it's scamming.
It's not really because you're actually providing.
It's not scamming, dude.
You're actually providing a product or value, so it's not scamming.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if you're playing under 17 and you're playing 25 year olds, bro.
You getting piped
by 25 year olds.
I used to wonder why our teams did so well
on the youth levels, like the under 17,
not at the seniors.
Yeah, that's why.
This makes sense.
Now you know.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, football age for you.
Football age.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of the African Giants of European football, right?
The highest level.
The highest level, quote unquote, highest level.
Quote unquote.
You know, because these guys, football is never coming home, essentially. Like, these men need to figure out how to win a World Cup.
We've been waiting.
African Giants of European football. First, I'll say this. This is a parameters, okay? You can decide how you want to pick your top five. You have, you know, full range of what you think you constitute as great, but we just need to know why. So give us your top five for who have played there, and they had to have represented their country too. They can't just
Want French players.
Yeah, no French or Italian, none of that. Like, they had to have represented their country. Top five and why.
Of our generation,
yeah.
Okay. I'm just gonna name the list and I'll give a quick brief why. Number one, Yaya Toure.
This is an order.
I'm doing mine in order. My top five African players of our generation, football players.
Okay.
Number one, Yaya Toure.
Okay.
Two, Samuel Eto'o.
Okay.
Three, Didier Drogba.
Okay.
Four, Sadio Mane.
Okay.
And five, Mo Salah.
Okay.
One, Yaya Toure, just on a complete level of a midfielder and dominance in Spain, even where it began in Premier League. What he was able to achieve, like, go look at his numbers. Look at what Yaya Toure is, one of the major building blocks for what Man City is. Mm. That began in 2010. Mm. Like, 4 times African Player of the Year, I don't need to say more. Mm. Samuel Eto'o, same thing. Back-to-back Champions Leagues, played at Barca highest level, Inter highest level, a true giant for Cameroon, man, a lion. He's an indomitable lion for Cameroon. Mm-hmm. Can't put it there. Mm-hmm. I did not like this player at all growing up, Didier Drogba, because we're Manchester United fans.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, we eventually grow up and mature. And Drogba was the first African superstar in the Premier League, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he opened the doors for, if there was no Drogba, there's no Mo Salah, no Sadio Mane, Riyad Mahrez, all these guys. So, respect to Didier Drogba, man. And for Ivory Coast.
Stop the civil war.
Stop the civil war. Yeah. Big game player, big goals. can, you know, Forsythe Jomane.
Yep.
Need I say more? African Player of the Year. Congrats to him. He just won it again.
Mm-hmm.
Senegal's greatest football player of all time already. Cool. And he's not done.
Yeah.
You can't tell me.
Yeah, okay.
You know? And Mo Salah, just a goal-scoring machine. Should pass the ball more. But hey, my respect to Mo Salah, man. What he's done for Egypt and Liverpool and the consistency to score 20-plus goals in the Premier League.
In the Premier League.
It's tough. And this guy does it year in, year out.
Yeah.
So those are my top five honorable mention to 2010 Ghana World Cup team.
Any specific players?
I used to really like Suleiman Tari.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Shout out to, I would really say at the end of the day, like, we have to give him his props too. Even though he missed the penalty, Asamoah Gyan. You know, he had a very short peak that was really nostalgic for a lot of us.
For a lot of us, yeah.
So, you know, Keta, Alex Song, Emmanuel Adebayo. How did I mention miss him? Adebayo. Great peak.
He's critical to African players succeeding. In
yes, you know,
he got Michael the first Essien, nice contract.
You know, man.
Essien too.
Yeah, so shout out to all of those guys, pioneers of African sport in Europe, man.
Mm.
Yeah, so those are my. What you got, Anzo?
You see, I tried so hard to stray away from this, but it's hard for me to also like change that top five for our generation, right?
Okay.
So, not in order, though.
Okay, yours is not in order.
Mine would be in a different order, which I can't attempt to put together. But Samuel Eto'o for me was a complete striker in the sense that he was powerful. He was strong, right? Every finish in the book, he could do it.
He had the full rep, like everything.
Everything.
As a striker, he had it all.
Easily. So Samuel Eto'o, easy. Like, same thing you were saying with Yaya. Complete midfielder, box to box. He can bag 20 goals or he can play center back, you know? So... Yeah, Touré, you have to throw him in there. DJ Drogba, like, Jesus Christ. Enough said. That guy is a powerhouse, right? Like, head the ball. He's going to beat you with power.
I still haven't seen who has a better header than Didier Drogba.
Than Drogba.
Maybe Ronaldo. Like, that's about it.
Cool, calm, and collected under pressure.
Big game player. You know,
big game player.
Arsenal's like, father.
Shows up when you need to. Yeah. Sadio Mane, where do you start? Like, this man, to me, was... really the dark horse of Liverpool because
yes,
Mo Salah got the shine, but without Sadio Mane, these men are going nowhere, you know?
I agree.
You see when he sent Neymar to the shop.
Tax buying that like, bought him now.
Like this, like,
you know, shook him, man.
You shook him down his boots. So easily Sadio Mane, like same thing, pace, power, like
aggression,
like very cheeky too. You see how he did Neuer, his new keeper.
Great technical ability.
And then Mo Salah, like, man, you know,
we gotta give it to him, man.
Gotta give it to him. For Egypt, they played us and they beat us.
Well, these Egyptians broke our hearts when they won those three back-to-back, three straight African cons. That hurt me deeply. So, but we'll give it to them.
So, for our generation, like that top five is.
These are the players we watch.
Yeah,
you know,
and set the bar. You know.
Honorable mentions?
JJ Okocha, bro.
Bolting JJ Okocha. Maz was moving mad, fam. Maz was doing 50 stepovers, bro. Big Sam, JJ Okocha?
Yeah, that guy was like, people are like, oh, Ronaldinho this, but bro, you watch Okocha, like, you make a case in saying, like, him and Ronaldinho.
He was our African Ronaldinho.
Exactly.
That's what he is.
He's
Luanu Kanu.
Kanu, like, even though he was Arsenal, man.
He's an older guy, though.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Because he's the big guy. He was like 6'8".
Yeah, he's a tall guy, you know, great technical ability, light on his feet.
Very light on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that you said, Michael Essien, because that nigga had tree trunks for legs, bro. Like, nobody was getting past him.
If you wanted to build a CDM,
yeah,
you build Michael Essien.
Yeah, you look at him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of other
players. What about Yakubu? Hey, let's not disrespect Yakubu, man. Yakubu, respect, bro. But I mean, that happened, though. Empty post. Those Nigerians will never forget that happened, bro.
Bro, that was mad.
I'm dead.
But there's been a bunch of, like...
I know we're missing some, man. Keta from Barcelona, man. Consistent. You know who I used to like? What's his name? He was Malian. Federic Konate, was it? Koyute. I forgot his name. Federic Koyute or Kayate.
I know he's...
Man, that brother used to play for Sevilla, I think. Konate. Federic Konate, man. Used to really like his game.
I also really used to like Mohamed Abou Trika.
Okay, that guy, respect Abou Trika, man.
Man, he terrorized our continent. Like, Egypt was peak with those men.
I agreed.
The Egypt goalkeeper.
Al Hasni or whatever. Yeah. Man, let's know. It's okay. So we got one more minute.
One more minute, yeah? Here we go.
What's the last one?
National hero for Gambia.
My national hero for football, growing up was no other player than... He wore number 9, Momodou Cisse, aka Zico. Everyone knew him as Zico. 6'5", played like the Gambian Zlatan, fast, great technical ability. They won the under-17 African Cup of Nations in 2005. And I looked up to him, got a chance to know him, and he was the player I really looked up to growing up. So that's my cult hero. Shout out to Zico.
I think for me, the one I rated the most was our goalkeeper, Dennis Onyango. Mm-hmm. 2016 African based player of the year, played for the Sundowns in South Africa.
Yeah.
Won the African Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, captains our country. Like, just a great. He peaked kind of, not peaked, but he. Yeah, he peaked later.
Typically, goalkeepers peak late.
Later, yeah. But. For just watching him, like, just a big presence and, like, great leader. So Dennis Onyango is my...
Shout out to Dennis. Shout out to Zico. You know? Yeah, man. I'm telling you, man. Cold hero.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. That was it. One other thing I want to shout out... Orlando Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
You remember back then when...
Super Disky, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I know what you mean. DSTV Super Disky, bro. Yeah. I used to watch that. When there was no Prem, you watched Super Disky.
You watched that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, of course, like the Chiefs and whatnot. But Tottenham came and played them in South Africa. And that was the first time I heard Vuvuzelas. Mm-hmm. They beat them 3-0. Or Pirates beat Tottenham 3-0.
Yeah.
And made a mockery out of them, bro. These South Africans are doing all the tricks and flicks. Like,
I'm dead.
Man, look stupid, bro.
I'm dead.
South Africans are wavy ballers, too. Shabalala, remember him? We can't
speak enough about this. Bafana. Yeah, a goal for Africa. Like, you know, and hey, we got to give Benny McCarty a shout out.
Shout out, Benny McCarty. Welcome to you know, the best team.
Come on. The only United we acknowledge.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, as you can see, we're very passionate about this.
You know, it's the sport we played growing up, you know, all the way.
One of the first things we ever bonded over and still do over to this day. But yeah, let us know who your top five.
Who's in your top five?
African players of all time are, and let us know your national.
I have one more question before we leave.
What's up?
I just always wondered, how come, I don't know if it's a stigma or not, why are East Africans not good at football? How many African... I can't remember last time an East African country won an African Cup. You guys never make the World Cup. So please,
I'm going to blame it.
The West side is where all the star power comes from. And, you know, we'll give the North to some credit, although they play in Arab League. But it's okay. But why? I just wonder, why is Africa so good at football?
I'm going to say this. We are. Just blame the lack of infrastructure for the sport.
I see.
Because, bro, like out here, you know the World Cup down in Tequila?
Yeah.
The Kenyan teams wins it all the time.
I have played Kenyans who are pretty good.
Yeah, so we're good. It's just...
At the high level. You have Wanyama, that's the peak.
Wanyama and like Oboa and...
Who's the most famous East African football player we know?
Probably Victor Wanyama.
Victor Wanyama, right? Yes. And guy was at one point a starter at Premier League Tottenham.
Spurs, but...
That's it.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. Because myself, I'm good. Don't get it twisted.
Hey, we have Pogba over here, fam. Mans is, you know, do not rush him. If you rush him, you're chopping grass.
Slice and dice. But yeah, man. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you guys.
Again, and y'all stay safe out there. You know, stay away from this whole monkeypox thing.
Hey, please.
But yeah, it was another episode of the Jola Mr. Madi. See you guys next time, and don't forget to like, subscribe, and subscribe. Yeah,
what he said.
What I said.